This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's happening in San Diego? Awesome to be with you. Awesome that it's a Friday. Finally a Friday, and of course it's a Friar Friday. As we head into the weekend here, Gwen and Chris on 97.3 The Fan. Chris Zello, Tony Gwynn Jr. down at Petco Park, and of course Matt Scraby alongside here. In the Odyssey Palace Studios, we've got Matt Waldron coming up for you on our Friar Friday interview. That will be taking place in about 20 minutes, so Padre fans, stick around to hear from really what has been a great success story. Matt Waldron coming from nowhere to grab hold of not only the number five spot, but now he seems to be one of the most reliable starters the Padres have. We'll talk with him about all of that. We've got a countdown today that I think will be fun for everybody in the 3 o'clock hour. We're going to go back through some of the great nicknames in the history of sports. This in the wake of the passing earlier this week of the Say Hey Kid, Willie Mays, and we head on out to Petco Park, where we have our friend Tony Gwynn Jr., who I saw out there last night, wearing his Milwaukee Brewer blue suit last night. Did you realize that that's what you were wearing, Tony?
No, I wasn't wearing it.
It's a weird thing to notice, Chris.
Well, he had kind of a light blue color there. It was very Brewer-like, I thought.
Wow.
I think last time I checked, Brewers wear navy and yellow.
But they do wear light blue for their City Connects.
Oh, that's what it was. It looked like a Brewer City Connect suit.
That's right. Huh.
Sorry about this, Tony. I didn't know this was how we're starting.
I didn't see it that way, but I think it's a compliment, so thank you.
It was a compliment. You looked very sharp,
Chris,
last night.
Chris, you have a blue shirt on right now, the chat
Milwaukee
is pointing
Brewer
out.
Blue. That's right. I'm wearing my Milwaukee Brewer blue shirt here tonight. Before we get to last night's thrilling Padre victory, and it was thrilling, 7-6 over the Milwaukee Brewers and all of the crazy things that have happened with the Padres, I think we have to start today, Tony, with the note that before the show started, I looked out the window before I came in, and I saw Scraby's car parked down in the parking lot down here at the Odyssey Palace. Mm-hmm. And fortunately for the car parked next to him, that car was not parked on the line next to Scraby's car.
Yes. I said this
that, that can get
your
trouble with Matthew Scraby.
Because apparently earlier today, somebody at the Starbucks in the neighborhood made the mistake of parking their car a little too close to that of Matthew Scraby.
And what, now, Scraby, was it a little too close or was it
I love how he's framing this like it's my fault.
Oh, no, it was not your fault.
By the way, 100%. Next time Chris says this is off-the-air stuff, I'm immediately going to
bring it to
the
immediately
air.
That we were going to put
I
it on the air.
I didn't actually think you were going to do it.
No, we told you immediately we were going to put it
we
on the
air. We did tell you it was going to come
yeah,
on the air.
Yeah, but I thought that was just a
you can't act like
joke.
You didn't know this was coming.
The follow-up joke, I thought, was.
No,
oh,
we're
going
to do
this
it
this is going on the air for sure. Why don't you want it on the air? I think you're
because I lost my mind, Chris.
You're serving notice to the rest of the parking public out there to park your car where it belongs between the two lines, right, Scrape? That's all you're trying to do.
Yes.
The only message you're trying to get across here.
So when I went, now that we're talking about this, yes. I went to go pick up my coffee. The parking lot was tight, so I parked in a tight spot, but I was in between the lines. I made sure of that.
Right.
Now, getting out of the car was kind of tough. Because
wait,
the car,
what was the car next to you?
The car next to me on the left of my on the driver's side was backed in number one.
Well, that's the first mistake they made right there.
Not illegal
on the line number two.
You know what?
That's
a good
problem.
Point, Tony Gwynn Jr. Backing in ought to be illegal. Let's let's move to make that a reality, Scrape.
I
guys
agree.
Would, if you had that on any, you know,
ballot somewhere, you don't think it would pass?
You guys would get trounced.
I don't know. A lot of people
pretty
who
sure.
don't like people who
pretty
back
sure
in.
You get trounced.
I don't know. I have heard from a lot of the backwards parkers.
Because what I do know is as what I do know is people want like to have the freedom of choice when
yeah.
it comes to
well,
packing in.
You know what? So we're living in a society now where we're taking choices away, and it's high time that we
take this one away too.
Take this one away
anyway.
As well. But here, because the guy was backed in next to Scraby,
and
he was indeed on the line, which was made it worse. But because this guy was backed in, and you're trying to get into the car right where he is.
Well, I'm trying to get out first.
Okay, first get out.
So yeah, here's your story. You got out the car.
So I get out the car, and I'm trying to get out, and it's a tight squeeze. Like, I'm sucking in at this point, trying to get out.
And I'm trying to get skinnier.
And I'm not trying to hit the car next to me, but, you know, a fit of anger hit me, and I was like, you know what, screw it. So I opened the door. I didn't slam it. I just rested it on the other car, so it gave me the like couple more inches I needed to get out. Okay, close the door, go get my coffee, come back. Guy's sitting in his car now. I go and try to open my door again, and I am really having a hard time getting in the car.
Plus, you're balancing
slithering.
A coffee.
I have my coffee.
Yeah, you're balancing
my
a coffee.
Shoulder.
And this is all
a...
while you're trying not to touch his door.
Yes, and
that's
my
right.
shoulder is absolutely killing me.
Not only
me.
Are you not trying to touch his door, but he's sitting right there looking out the window at your
watching
effort
me.
To get into the car.
So my door.
Like daring you to touch his
yeah,
door
that's
at
right.
this point.
My door opens. Onto his car.
That's right.
Because I couldn't fit into my car, and I was so angry. So he rolls
Meanwhile,
down the window.
Shoulder's throbbing, too, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, oh, God. My shoulder is in so much pain today because of this. But he rolled down his window, and he was like, hey, dude, you just hit my car. And I lost my mind.
Yeah, you did.
And
I wish this was an After Dark episode where you could really tell what you said.
You'll hear you'll understand what I said, but I said when he said, "Hey dude, you hit my car," I said, "Well then don't park on the bleeping line then." And I got in my car, embarrassed as all hell, and backed out and like did a Rory McIlroy screech around the corner.
I think you struck a victory for all of us out there.
I think you did.
Who try to park between the lines and are tired of these people who have so little regard for the rest of society. And I think this is a society issue.
Yes, it is.
That they park on the line and just think it's fine. No, it's not fine.
It's not fine. It's
That's
not.
Right. You're not it's any not better than anybody. And the guy who did this is lucky that you didn't just pull out and decide to sacrifice your front left bumper by screeching across his entire side of his car.
No, I would never do that. My car's brand new.
Out.
My car's brand new. It's not even a year old yet.
But we've all thought about it at
That's
one
right.
point in time.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what? It might be worth just jacking my car up just to
do
nice
that. Yeah.
line across the side of this person's
exactly.
door.
I'm telling
We've
you right now, if I had my Prius, I probably would have done it.
Well, this is, you know, what you wanted to do today is the reason they invented rental cars. Because if you had a rental car, you would have had no problem doing that.
No, Bam Margera did this one time. He got in big trouble for it.
Well, you know, it's another story.
Hey, he actually rented a car, trashed it, and then took it back. Anyway,
did said driver have anything to say back to you?
I didn't look back at him, but no, they didn't say anything. I think they were like, oh, God, this guy's crazier than I am.
Or,
I'm going to be quiet.
Or in the back of his mind, he knew he was out of pocket.
Exactly.
Being on the
thank
line
you.
In the
he
first
knew
place.
He was out of pocket.
Yeah, I don't know.
Scraby, thank you.
I don't know
you.
About that.
Well, I think
I
we owe that. You all a big round of applause.
We do.
And thanks
Give yourself a round of
for
applause.
For sticking up for the rest of us who try to park our car decently and within the lines. Good job, Scraby.
Thank you.
Not a
thank
boy.
You.
Nah, I think you did what was right there.
Yes, there's someone on the chat, Hope Springs Eternal. I'm handicapped, and it infuriates me when people park in handicapped spaces and they are not handicapped. Yes, please, people, if you do not need to use that space, don't use the space. What is the problem?
It's not hard, guys. It really isn't. You know, you got the two lines there. Park your car in there. Hey, you know what? Nobody is judging you if you got to do it two or three times to get it right. Nobody's judging.
That's right. Get it right.
Get it right. Well, Jesse, so maybe Scraby is over here judging you because of it. He also doesn't want you to park on the line. So, you know, he can't have it both ways.
I can't. You're but right. You're right.
I'm just saying. Just take your time. Park it right. You know.
I feel good now.
Yeah, I think
you should.
I knew you would.
You should feel good.
Yeah, you should. You're unburdened. And here's
unburdened.
Yeah. And here's the one thing about the handicap thing. Every now and again, I drive with my mother-in-law, who does have a legal handicap card.
Okay.
And so, you know, she'll bring it and say, hey, let's use the handicap parking here so we can get a close spot. But when I park in there, I always limp out of the car. I just
oh my goodness.
I just don't feel like I should get out and sprint into the store. You know what I mean?
I can't. What?
I can't believe
you fake injury to make people believe?
A little bit. Yeah, I don't feel right.
But is your mother-in-law using the said placard?
She uses it.
She's, yes, okay. You know, that's okay, though.
She legitimately has it. Yes.
That is hilarious but this guy gets out of his car and limps.
Yeah, he's got to limp a little bit. Just a little bit.
How long do you limp for? Do you come out of the store limping, too?
Just in case.
He goes in and comes out.
That's right.
I respect you for admitting that, Chris, because I don't know that I would have admitted
That's quality. Like, that is... That is what happens when you are, your soul is convicted, right? It's like,
that's right.
I know I shouldn't be doing this, so you know what? I'm going to at least try to, you know, blend in here.
Yes, because of the, you know, I thought of this because of the person who wrote in on the chat that they actually are handicapped and need that spot, you know, in order to get where they want to go. And I, you know, I'm probably taking their spot once in a while.
Jacob makes a great point. People are allowed to be non-visibly handicapped, Chris. You don't need to limp. Are you carrying crutches in your car now?
Somebody explain the rules on this. If you're mentally disabled, Chris, like I clearly am,
yes,
can I get a card for that?
No, you can't because you're not actually mentally disabled.
That's what
disabled.
I mean. Well, I don't know. People might argue that, Scrape.
I feel Chris on this one. Like, in his mind, he knows. Like, I'm not. I know I'm driving my mother-in-law, and she definitely needs it, but I'm perfectly fine. And so, you know, I understand that logic. And, you know, I'm going to limp out of this car. At least so
just a little bit. Just a little bit. All right.
That's good stuff.
We had some crazy stuff to open the show today, but we've got plenty of time. Padres win last night, their third consecutive walk-off home victory, tying an all-time Major League record. That's amazing. It's actually the first time that a team has done the walk-off in the bottom of the ninth inning. Three games in a row. If they do it again tonight, my goodness, that would really be spectacular. So an exciting night out at Petco Park. We'll recap all of it here in a little bit, but we have to make way for our Friar Friday interview with Matt Waldron. This has been a great story, and hopefully he keeps this hot run going. We're lucky to have him on the show. We are underway, Gwen and Chris, Friday, Waldron Cauldron, next on Gwen and Chris.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
2:19 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. Matt Waldron joins us here shortly. Talk about his terrific start to the season that got off to a bit of a rough start. Has more than... found its level at this point, as he's probably, no, he is the hottest Padre starting pitcher right now.
Yeah.
He'll join us here briefly.
He's got eight consecutive games, Tony, allowing two or fewer runs. I mean, that's an impressive stretch.
Some good offenses in there, too.
Yeah,
He's done that again. So I think Mr. Scraby has got him on the line. Getting him all set. I would love to go into a different subject, but I just feel like ready. And there's a thumbs up. Let's bring in our Friar Friday guest, Matt Waldron, joins us here on Gwen and Chris. Matt, welcome to the show. How are you today, my man?
I'm doing good. It's another great day in the big leagues. So I'm enjoying that, and I just got out of the field, so feeling good.
So before we got you before you even got into any of your routine. I mean, let's just start with, you know, you made the club out of spring. You earned a spot out of spring. I'd say the first couple starts made didn't go the way you liked them to, but it just seems like every start that you have made, you've learned something from the previous start, and you have been able to apply it in a way, and it just seems like you're in a good groove right now.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I feel like I am too. I feel like I'm learning something from each start, and, you know, the best way to learn sometimes is the hardest way, and that's failing at that level and just, you know, pretty badly, like the Cardinals start and the Diamondback start. I feel like it's really, you know, I had to make some adjustments.
Matt, you know, did you hear any of the noise in the month of April? And if so, how tough was it as you're trying to legitimize and kind of prove to everybody that you belong here? I mean, it's pretty obvious to all of us now that you are where you are supposed to be. But I'm sure that there was a little, maybe a little extra stress on yourself to try and go out and show what you could really do early this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just, you know, keeping the ERA at a good spot is always at the front of a starting pitcher's mind. And just, you know when you're not doing well, and you know there's probably some better options out there if you don't turn things around. So you really gotta perform, you know, immediately.
Matt Waldron joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Matt, you've kind of evolved as a guy who has a knuckleball. I don't know if that you would call yourself a knuckleballer at this point, but what do you think has led to this success? I mean, I've talked to you a little bit about it in the clubhouse about, you know, your different ranges of your knuckleball. The one thing that stands out to me is on days that you haven't necessarily been able to command it the way you want, you've been able to lean on that sweeper and on that cutter and on that sinker to get you back in at bats so that you could use the knuckleball. Has that kind of been the evolution in your year so far?
Yeah, I would definitely say that. I think, you know, number one, I would say, like, I rely on the knuckleball for sure. And if that thing's not going, it definitely, I have to rely on something else, whether that's a sweeper or, you know, backdoor two-seam or anything, really. You just, like, I feel like, yeah, having all of them isn't always possible, but, like, when they're on, it definitely makes the job less tough.
Matt Waldron is with us from the Padres, who play the Brewers tonight, and our Fire Friday guest. Matt, I'm curious, how much of a knuckleball savant are you or have you become? And I'm talking about, you know, some of the history and the pitchers that have used the knuckleball. And have you had a chance to speak to some of these guys at all? Charlie Huff, Tom Candiotti, talk about the pitch. It seems like back in the day, anyway, the knuckleballer was kind of a fraternity unto itself. Right now, you're a pitcher unto yourself because no one else is throwing it. So who do you lean on to, you know, to talk about this crazy thing that you have?
Yeah, I've definitely talked with a couple guys. I'd say Tom Candiotti significantly, and you know, he's always left the door open. So if I ever have questions or hit a wall, and you know, this game can definitely make you do that. So I'll reach out to him, but I can't say I've looked up so much of the history that, like, I know all about the hit. Like, I'd probably disappoint you on saying that I just don't know as much about the history. Obviously, I know Wakefield, and I believe he's the reason why I started throwing it. And so it's been cool to experience it, but really just, you know, I feel like I'm able to throw that pitch, and learning how to compete with it was the hardest part at first. But, and I feel like I'm learning, and I'm just, you know, trying to make strides, and I'm always a student of this game. And, I feel like, you know, some things have been clicking a little bit recently.
I have to share with you, having been up in the booth next to Tom, this guy is beaming watching you throw the knuckleball and have the success that you're having. I mean, obviously, he talked a little bit about you guys' relationship and giving you some little tidbits. And he made the note to myself that you've kind of gone through the same evolution as every knuckleballer, right? I think there's a part of you that, you know, I still got good stuff on the other pitches. I don't necessarily want to become just a knuckleballer, but we've seen you at times when you've had your most success throwing it at a high level. He is certainly a guy who, it seems like, is in your corner, even though, you know, he's working with another team right now.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I really appreciated that. you know, just having, and he's, yeah, he just, I think he's supportive too. And that's what I think I've loved the most is just he wants to see me do well. And I think that does more than even just leaving the door open. Like, I think just that support, and he's been very helpful.
Matt Waldron is with us, grew up in Omaha, Nebraska, for those who might wonder, went to the University of Nebraska, but grew up a Kansas City Chiefs fan, which is why this next quote is so amazing. The quote is, "I'm trying to learn the knuckleball the Waldron dude from the Padres throws." And the guy who said that quote was Patrick Mahomes, no less, the Chiefs quarterback. Have you had a chance to talk with him? Has he contacted you yet? I know you were kind of fired up about that, though.
Yeah, that was a crazy experience. I know. I remember hearing, or I got a couple texts saying, "Hey, the MVP shouted you out." And for us that day, the MVP of our game was Jackson because he hit the walk-off. So I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. But then I realized they were talking about Mahomes, so that was a different level. And then, so, but no, I haven't gotten to talk to him. I'd say I'm a little nervous. I don't think I'm quite qualified to.
Oh, you're, you know, qualified. Come on.
But that definitely crossed my mind. But no, he's, wow, yeah, that's. That was a definite high in my life for sure. That I don't think I would have thought meant as much as it does.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Matt Waldron joins us here. Matt, a little bit about game planning as you go into each of these starts. You and Ruben, I assume, and whoever's catching, we know it's going to usually be Kyle catching. Get together, you formulate your game plan. How much is that able to stick depending on how well the knuckleball feels? Because a lot of times for the knuckleballers in the past, they would have a start in which they just had no feel for the knuckleball, and they would get hit. You don't necessarily have to go through that because you have the other pitches. Has there been a start where the knuckleball just didn't feel good coming out, and you kind of had to adjust the game plan?
Yeah, absolutely, and those are scary, to be honest. Those are like, you know, it's feel like I'm fighting with one arm or something, I would say. So I don't feel quite as whole without it. But I would say the red series was definitely one there. I was just like, or the Reds at home the first time we played them was tough for me. I just, and that being, you know, when I have a lack of belief in it, that's even another like just really like debilitating, you know, scenario. And it gets to you, so I feel like just that lack of belief in it, too, kind of doubles down on top of just the results that it wasn't getting.
Well, let's get the results now for you, Matt. And, I mean, some of the quotes, I mean, to hear Jazz Chisholm say he thinks it's the best pitch in baseball, and Bryson Stott the other day said, man, he threw one to Bohm that hit him and then threw the same pitch to me and it dropped in for a strike. I didn't know what to do. It's nice to hear that, I'm sure. Real last thing I wanted to ask you, because I did have a chance to visit with Phil Niekro one time, the great knuckleballer, and he detailed this whole thing to me about what he does between starts and on game days in terms of keeping his fingernails right. The exact, you know, because it's actually a fingernail ball in a lot of ways. Got to dip them into the ball.
That's true.
Right. So do you, are you very careful, you know, like between starts, or is it just day of game to make sure that everything is exactly right the way you need it?
Yeah, I would say at first I was like obsessing over it a little bit. And then I think I guess psyched me out a little bit. So like, I'd be like, oh no, that's a, you know, a millimeter too long or something. Cause it really is. So I feel like just, you know, I kind of get it dialed in the night before, and that way I don't have to worry about it. And if it's a little long, like I'd rather shy on it being too long than too short. And I'm like, yeah. So, that is, there's some serious truth to that. Yeah. The nail length being very important.
That's interesting. A lot of knuckleballers that I've seen carry a file with them and they're constantly shaping the nails. That's super interesting. Matt, we'll let you go, man. We know you got to get your day started. Appreciate you coming on. Continued success as we move forward in the season, and thanks for giving us some of your time.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Good luck.
Matt Waltz, knuckleballer,
That was one of my favorite interviews. I really enjoyed that one. That was a lot of, I mean, they're all fun, but that one was kind of really good.
There's a lot of humility in there. You can hear as he is talking about himself. You can see that it's uncomfortable talking about himself.
Right. But I have no right to get to talk to Patrick Mahomes. Yes, you do.
Yeah, you're a professional.
He's the one who wants to know.
He brought you up.
That's right. He brought you in on this. So
yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
We got a few minutes. The Padre lineup just dropped.
All right. Get to it. Boy.
Looks Scrape like.
Well, while. Oh, sorry. I don't know why I just tried to start talking. I'll tell you.
He's
going to
give the lineup right now.
Yeah. Same lineup as last night.
Ah, I like that. Worked last night. Might work again.
Although, was David Peralta the DH?
He was not the DH. I said same lineup. I didn't say the positions were the same. There,
yes. Oh, I wasn't calling
Profar
you out.
Tony. Jeez. Profar goes back to the outfield tomorrow.
Uh-huh. You know what? I'm going to go fight Tony in the parking lot right now because of this. Come on, man.
I parked on the line, buddy.
Parked on the line, buddy.
Man, I better watch myself in the studio today, guys. I could be in danger with the way Scraby's reacting.
What was I going to say? I was going to say, Chris, I knew, was going to ask about a Negro brother or whatever it is.
It was a great question because I don't think many people know. I had forgotten until you started to ask the question, until you said something about his nails.
Right.
I remember Charlie Huff and Candiotti and Wakefield talking about how they have to keep their nails.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, you know, for a pitcher like Matt Waldron, who really is like learning, he's pretty new to the knuckleball for the most part. Him obsessing over the length, the first few starts. I could totally see that being a thing.
Yeah, sure.
But what I was trying to say is I was going to go into it making fun of Chris, but he elicited a very good response. So good question, Chris.
Padres, that's where you always start with wanting to make fun of me, and then I have to earn your trust.
Yes.
Padres did make a roster move today. Adam Mazur goes down. Tom Cosgrove back to the big leagues.
Yes. Well, and that's a smart move because their bullpen is taxed at the moment.
Yeah.
So they need another arm.
Mazur way.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get to break. More Gwynn and Chris on the side. Scrape, where are we going next?
We got Mike Schilt.
Well, we
got
to do last night's game because there were so many crazy things that happened last
that
night
too.
That I want to get into.
You know what? I forgot we didn't do last night's game.
Yeah, we haven't done last night's game.
We're talking about
yet.
Your parking situation. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yes. For 12 minutes.
We'll recap last night's game when we return. More Gwynn and Chris.
Pitch number 7 on the way, and Cronenworth swings, hits it in the air to deep right field. Way back. Gonna go! For the third consecutive game here at Petco Park, the Padres hit a walk-off home run. Higashioka and Merrill. And now Jake Cronenworth, who throws his helmet as he approaches home plate. The Padres beat the Brewers 7-6.
Excellent, excellent call. As always, by Jesse Agler there, and to be able to work in the fact that, third consecutive game that the Padres win at home on a walk-off home run. How rare is it? It's happened 3 other times in Major League history. So not too shabby. Not only that, never. With all 3 home runs coming in the bottom of the 9th inning, a couple of those games happen in extra innings. So I guess if you're going game tonight, you're going to be upset if there's not a walk-off home run, Tony. I mean, we're going to become used to this. And, you know, the thing is, this is the 9th one-run victory of the year for the Padres last night. And that's significant because last year, all season, they had 9. And they're not even to the halfway point. So we can say a lot of things about this team, but they are doing a much better job in clutch, tight situations this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing a better job for sure. This team, it's
we can't figure it out.
You can't. I mean, they have maybe things are starting to even out home and away. They've played better here at home. They've played worse on the road. Right-handed pitcher on the mound yesterday. had that going for him.
Yeah, right.
They did some nice stuff yesterday offensively. They had some help. You know, the light ball that Yelich had to deal with and left. You know, led to the Padres being able to tie the game, right? I think it was.
Yes, it was a big run, yeah.
And but, you know, ultimately they did what they had to do, you know. Pitchers in this league still make mistakes. And we saw it last night. He had thrown Payams had been dirty, been throwing that fastball, a couple different fastballs, made the mistake with the breaking ball, and it got hit into the crone zone.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, the Padres, this is kind of what they've been doing all year long.
Yeah, they're going to win tonight. For sure,
yeah,
because they got to get to 500.
They're going to get back to 500,
and then you know we'll take our chances from there.
We'll see what happens after that.
Yeah,
but listen, that's I think you know ultimately, if we're being serious, and I know you guys have brought up the playoffs a couple times. If we're being serious about that, that is the starting point. You get to 500, a lot of good things can happen for you as long as you're there, just a little bit above.
Yeah, I mean, no team has really taken hold, you know, of that fifth and sixth playoff spot. And it's early, as you keep saying, but, you know, I wouldn't mind being the team that takes a hold of one of those spots, right? I mean, win 10 out of 12. I keep begging for it, but I guess I'll continue to beg. It was an interesting game in a lot of ways last night. And I know that Cronenworth is the, you know, the heroic finish to the game. Everyone's going to remember Tatis's home run, which almost knocked the scoreboard down in left field. I mean, absolutely a missile. Manny, you know, gets the home run the opposite way, hits another couple of balls hard. And we're, you know, of course, everybody's hoping that that signals that these two guys are, well, Fernando's been doing it for a little while, but
yeah.
Hopefully Manny's going to join him there. But it, to me, baseball always comes down, not always, but a lot of times, and especially a one-run game, comes down to plays that are made and plays that are not made. And that doesn't mean an error. It just means the top of the first inning when Manny makes an unbelievable stab on a shot down the line. Cronenworth digs out his throw. Arise digs out that throw. You couldn't get a better double play in terms of three guys all making great plays. Now, how many runs did that save? I mean, bases loaded, one out, the kid on the mound. Milwaukee might have scored 6-7 runs in that inning if they don't make that play, but instead they only get one. And then in the bottom of the first, Turang kicks the ground ball. There's no error because you can't assume a double play, but Manny should have really never gotten a chance to bat. But he did, and that to me is the difference in the game right there in the first inning. So
that's how it works in the big leagues. Plays that are made, plays that are not made. And when you're in one of those games, and it doesn't mean that there's going to be a play not made or a play made, but if you're in one of those games and you end up not making one, and then you end up making a play and in the very next inning the other team doesn't make one,
right?
That a lot of times is the difference in the ball game.
Yeah, got to give the Padres credit because they took full advantage of the opportunity, right, Manny?
Yeah, that's something they've been better at this year.
Yes,
a lot better this year. Because remember last year they were having these same opportunities, and none of them seemed like they happened, at least until like the last 2 weeks of the season when they ran off however many straight games they won.
Yeah. Well, anyway, look, it was a game that I, you know, felt was important to win because they did a lot of things really well. And had they let it slip away, you know, this would have been one of those ones that hurt a little extra. But you know what? They didn't. And I know that Estrada kind of gets on the hook a little for, well, he gave up the lead in the ninth and Suarez wasn't available. Well, guess what? Estrada was pitching in his third game in a row, and he was willing to step up, and I don't think he took one for the team necessarily, Tony, but somebody had to pitch that ninth inning, and he got through it, kept them tied, and you know, he got a lot of credit from his manager after that game for being willing to step up in that situation, and I think that's important to note.
He definitely, I mean, these are the things that sometimes gets under my skin, right? Because I can already guarantee what would have happened if he would have been like, I can't go today.
Yeah.
Like, we would have been all over him. I mean, maybe not as much Suarez because I think he's bought himself you know, some equity by showing up in the eighth inning on multiple occasions. But that would have been what people, the gripe was. And so instead he goes out there, probably hanging, you know.
Yeah.
Because I think he threw, it wasn't like he threw like four pitches on those other two appearances. He threw about, I think it was like 15 and 18.
Yeah, right.
In those two previous appearances. And, you know, he didn't have his best stuff, and it showed. And so he did step out there and tried to step up for his team. It didn't work out. Padres still picked him up on the backside, though.
Yeah, I appreciate Estrada last night. And, you know, let's also mention that he accomplished something last night that had never been done before.
Another three
in the major
strikeouts.
Leagues. He struck out all three outs were strikeouts last night. It's the third day in a row that he did that. No one has ever done that in history. This guy's done two things with strikeouts in the last month that have never before been done. So,
did he accomplish last night?
He struck out the side. Okay. For third consecutive appearance.
Oh. Third day in a row.
He loves the strikeout records.
He struck out three in a row on Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Three in a row on Wednesday.
Okay.
And then the same yesterday.
Nice.
So he's doing things with that strikeout that are impressive. It was the other couple of things that I noticed about the game last night, Tony. Well, first of all, the Jackson Merrill thing is a weird statistic. I get it. You know, he's 21, 22, and a young guy, center field, six home runs in eight games. But I think that, to me, that would be something you could cherish. When they put up on the scoreboard that you're now the only guy to do something along with Willie Mays, I got a kick out of that. And, you know, what Jackson Merrill's doing right now is beyond what a lot of people expected he was going to do. And, you know, give this young guy a lot of credit. He continues to just keep an even, steady pace about himself. But his confidence has got to be growing.
Yeah, in terms of the record, I mean, that's something certainly Jackson should cherish.
Yeah, exactly.
For the rest of us, I don't know that it really is all that. It's a weird stat.
Right, it is.
It's just not a lot of 20-year-olds playing in the big leagues, and certainly not a lot of them hitting home runs. So he should 100% cherish that, and that's something he should talk about forever.
Right.
But, I mean, for me, he's still just being Jackson. You know, he's just out there. He's hit a few more home runs, which has kind of, you know, opened more people to what he's been doing, frankly, all season long. He's just adding the homer to it. I mean, he still is doing, you know, what he's done all season long. He's right between about 275, 285. He's just kind of shifting back and forth in that area. Never going too low, never going too high. He's just steady. And that's, you know, that's a huge compliment for a 21-year-old kid playing in the big leagues, learning a new position. You can make the argument he has been the most consistent player, maybe outside of Jerickson, all season long.
Yeah.
Like, no one has been as consistent as Jackson has.
Just been doing it, right? I mean, you just kind of put him in the lineup and forget about it, and he does his thing. So, the other thing that was interesting last night that I saw Kevin Acey pointed out in his notes column today, the one player in Major League Baseball who strikes out the least also walks the least. That player is Luis Arraez, and he did both things last night. He struck out and walked. Now, the walk in the first inning, this is his first walk in 51 at-bats, or plate appearances, and I was thinking about it. This is not because he doesn't have a good eye, Tony, or any of that. It's because he hits the ball every time.
Yes.
He never swings and misses, so the count never gets deep against him, you know?
This, for me, is not a big deal. I mean, this is what I grew up watching. My dad didn't strike out a lot. He didn't walk a lot.
Yeah, right.
And it has nothing to do with anything other than they put the ball in play. They got great bat-to-ball skill. And so pitches that a lot of guys would swing and miss at. I have a stat I had yesterday sent to me that Luis has the highest percentage of swings of pitches out above the zone, but he also has missed them the least of anybody in the big league.
He doesn't miss anything.
He just doesn't miss.
Love
he
it.
Expands his expansion of the zone is different than everybody else's because his intent is different than everybody else's when he's expanding the zone. So, yeah, man, you can make the mistake of kind of like being ho-hum about Luis because now we're getting to see him every day, and he pretty much is going to get two knocks a day, as it seems. And you could make the mistake of just kind of being bored with that. I advise you not. There isn't. You know, Padres fans should be – they're lucky. They get two guys, actually, in their lineup that are doing – they're just – are unicorns in terms of average and what they're doing in this game.
Pitch number 7 on the way, and Cronenworth swings, hits it in the air to deep right field, way back, gonna go! For the third consecutive game here at Petco Park, the Padres hit a walk-off home run. Higashioka and Merrill. And now Jake Cronenworth, who throws his helmet as he approaches home plate. The Padres beat the Brewers 7-6.
Excellent, excellent call. As always, by Jesse Agler there. And to be able to work in the fact that, yeah, third consecutive game that the Padres win at home on a walk-off home run. How rare is it? It's happened 3 other times in Major League history. So not too shabby. Not only that, never with all 3 home runs coming in the bottom of the 9th inning. A couple of those games happen in extra innings. So I guess if you're going to game tonight, you're going to be upset if there's not a walk-off home run, Tony. I mean, we're going to become used to this. And, you know, the thing is, this is the 9th one-run victory of the year for the Padres last night. And that's significant because last year, all season, they had 9. And they're not even to the halfway point. So we can say a lot of things about this team, but they are doing a much better job in clutch, tight situations this year.
Yeah, I mean, they're doing a better job for sure. You know, I think, I don't know. I mean, this team, it's
we can't figure it out.
You can't. I mean, they have, maybe things are starting to even out home and away. They've played better here at home. They've played worse on the road. Right-handed pitcher on the mound yesterday. Had that going for him.
Yeah, right.
They did some nice stuff yesterday offensively. They had some help. You know, the light ball that Yelich had to deal with and left. You know, led to the Padres being able to tie the game, right? I think it was.
Yes, it was a big run, yeah.
But, you know, ultimately, they did what they had to do, you know. Pitchers in this league still make mistakes. And we saw it last night. He had thrown Piams had been dirty. Been throwing that fastball, a couple different fastballs. Made the mistake with the breaking ball, and it got hit into the crone zone.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, the Padres, this is kind of what they've been doing all year long.
Yeah, they're going to win tonight, for sure, because they got to get to 500.
They're going to get back to 500.
And then, you know, we'll take our chances from there.
We'll see what happens after that.
Yeah.
But listen, that's I think, you know, ultimately, if we're being serious, and I know you guys have brought up the playoffs a couple times, if we're being serious about that, that is the starting point. You get to 500, a lot of good things can happen for you as long as you're there just a little bit above.
Yeah, I mean, no team has really taken hold, you know, of that 5th and 6th playoff spot, and it's early, as you keep saying, but, you know, I wouldn't mind being the team that takes a hold of one of those spots, right? I mean, win 10 out of 12. I keep begging for it, but I guess I'll continue to beg. It was an interesting game in a lot of ways last night. And I know that Cronenworth is the, you know, the heroic finish to the game. Everyone's going to remember Tatis's home run, which almost knocked the scoreboard down in left field. I mean, absolutely a missile. Manny, you know, gets the home run the opposite way, hits another couple of balls hard. And we're, you know, of course, everybody's hoping that that signals that these two guys are, well, Fernando's been doing it for a little while, but
yeah.
Hopefully Manny's going to join him there. But it, to me, baseball always comes down, not always, but a lot of times, and especially a one-run game, comes down to plays that are made and plays that are not made. And that doesn't mean an error. It just means The top of the first inning when Manny makes an unbelievable stab on a shot down the line. Cronenworth digs out his throw. Arise digs out that throw. You couldn't get a better double play in terms of three guys all making great plays. Now, how many runs did that save? I mean, bases loaded, one out, the kid on the mound. Milwaukee might have scored 6-7 runs in that inning if they don't make that play, but instead they only get one. And then in the bottom of the first, Terang kicks the ground ball. There's no error because you can't assume a double play, but Manny should have really never gotten a chance to bat. But he did, and that to me is the difference in the game right there in the first inning. So
that's how it works in the big leagues. Plays that are made, plays that are not made. And when you're in one of those games, and it doesn't mean that there's going to be a play not made or a play made, but if you're in one of those games and you end up not making one, and then or you end up making a play and in the very next inning the other team doesn't make one, that a lot of times is the difference in the ball game.
Yeah, got to give the Padres credit because they took full advantage of the opportunity, right, Manny? Yeah,
that's something they've been better at this year.
Yes.
A lot better this year. Because remember last year they were having these same opportunities and none of them seemed like they happened, at least until like the last 2 weeks of the season when they ran off however many straight games they won.
Yeah. Well, anyway, look, it was a game that I felt was important to win because they did a lot of things really well. And had they let it slip away, this would have been one of those ones that hurt a little extra. But you know what? They didn't. And I know that Estrada kind of gets on the hook a little for, he gave up the lead in the ninth and Suarez wasn't available. Well, guess what? Estrada was pitching in his third game in a row, and he was willing to step up, and I don't think he took one for the team necessarily, Tony, but somebody had to pitch that ninth inning, and he got through it, kept them tied, and he got a lot of credit from his manager after that game for being willing to step up in that situation, and I think that's important to note.
He definitely, these are the things that sometimes gets under my skin, right? Because I can already guarantee what would have happened if he would have been like, I can't go today.
Yeah.
Like, we would have been all over him. I mean, maybe not as much Suarez because I think he's bought himself, some equity by showing up in the eighth inning on multiple occasions. But that would have been what the gripe was. And so instead he goes out there probably hanging,
Yeah,
because I think he threw like four pitches on those other two appearances. He threw about, 15 and 18.
Yeah, right.
In those two previous appearances. And, he didn't have his best stuff, and it showed. And so he did step out there and tried to step up for his team. It didn't work out. Padres still picked him up on the backside, though.
Yeah, I appreciate Estrada last night, and let's also mention that he accomplished something last night that had never been done before.
Another three
in the major
strikeouts.
Leagues. He struck out all three outs were strikeouts last night. It's the third day in a row that he did that. No one has ever done that in history. This guy's done two things with strikeouts in the last month that have never before been done. So
did he accomplish last night?
He struck out the side.
Okay.
For third consecutive appearance.
Oh.
Third day in a row.
He loves the strikeout record.
He struck out three in a row on Tuesday. Three in a row on Wednesday.
Okay.
And then the same yesterday.
Nice.
So he's doing things with that strikeout that are impressive. It was the other couple of things that I noticed about the game last night, Tony. First of all, the Jackson Merrill thing is a weird statistic. I get it. He's 21, 22, and a young guy, center field, six home runs in eight games. But I think that, to me, that would be something you could cherish. When they put up on the scoreboard that you're now the only guy to do something along with Willie Mays, I got a kick out of that. And, what Jackson Merrill's doing right now is beyond what a lot of people expected he was going to do. And, give this young guy a lot of credit. He continues to just keep an even, steady pace about himself. But his confidence has got to be growing.
Yeah, in terms of the record, that's something certainly Jackson should cherish.
Yeah, exactly.
For the rest of us, I don't know that it really is all that. It's a weird stat.
Right, it is.
It's just not a lot of 20-year-olds playing in the big leagues, and certainly not a lot of them hitting home runs. So he should 100% cherish that, and that's something he should talk about forever.
Right.
But I mean, for me, is he's still just being Jackson. You know, he's just out there. He's hit a few more home runs, which is kind of, you know, open more people to what he's been doing, frankly, all season long. He's just adding the homer to it. I mean, he still is doing, you know, what he's done all season long. He's right between about 275, 285. He's just kind of shifting back and forth in that area. Never going too low, never going too high. He's just steady. And that's, you know, that's a huge compliment for a 21-year-old kid playing in the big leagues, learning a new position. You can make the argument he has been the most consistent player, maybe outside of Jerickson, all season long.
Yeah.
Like, no one has been as consistent as Jackson has.
Just been doing it, right? I mean, you just kind of put him in the lineup and forget about it, and he does his thing. So the other thing that was interesting last night that I saw Kevin Acey pointed out in his notes column today, the one player in Major League Baseball who strikes out the least also walks the least. That player is Luis Arraez, and he did both things last night. He struck out and walked. Now, the walk in the first inning, this is his first walk in 51 at-bats or plate appearances. And I was thinking about it. This is not because he doesn't have a good eye, Tony, or any of that. It's because he hits the ball every time. Yes. He never swings and misses, so the count never gets deep against him, you know?
This, for me, is not a big deal. I mean, this is what I grew up watching. My dad strike out a lot. He didn't walk a lot.
Yeah, right.
It has nothing to do with anything other than they put the ball in play. They got great bat-to-ball skill. And so pitches that a lot of guys would swing and miss at. I have a stat I had yesterday sent to me that Luis has the highest percentage of swings of pitches out above the zone, but he also has missed them the least of anybody in the big league.
He doesn't miss anything.
He just doesn't miss.
Love
he
it.
Expands his expansion of the zone is different than everybody else's because his intent is different than everybody else's when he's expanding the zone. So, yeah, man, you can make the mistake of kind of like being ho-hum about Luis because now we're getting to see him every day, and he pretty much is going to get two knocks a day, as it seems. And you could make the mistake of just kind of being bored with that. I advise you not. There isn't. You know, Padres fans should be – they're lucky. They get two guys actually in their lineup that are doing – they're just – are unicorns in terms of average and what they're doing in this game right now.
Yeah, well, it's fun, and it's fun when it comes in a win and a sold-out crowd last night, and, you know, it was a great evening at the ballpark. Now, real quick, Tony, before you got to get going and get ready for the broadcast, the morning show just mentioned the topic. That's a better way of saying it, with Mike Shildt. And his ejection from the game on Sunday, was it, in New York?
I think it was Sunday.
Last Sunday, yeah. He had got ejected after Manny Machado struck out. Now, the John Boy, what is it, a website or Twitter account?
He's just he's like a baseball content guy.
Right. But this guy is the master at reading lips, basically. And he puts out content that shows arguments like Shildt had with the umpire that day. And he fills in what we can't hear by reading lips. And turned out that Mike Shildt went out that day and asked to be thrown out of the game. Said, basically, I need to be thrown out of the game.
According to the lip reading?
According to the lip reading,
okay.
Right. Yes, that's right.
Okay.
And the umpire said, well, all right, do your thing. Like, go crazy.
Like, kick some dirt on me?
Right, and Mike Shildt said, I don't really feel like doing all that, according to the lip reading. And he said, just, you know, I need to get kicked out here, and finally got kicked out. So, Tony, this is much ado about nothing in a lot of ways, if you ask me, because I think managers have been doing this forever, haven't they? Yeah.
Yes, they have. Every time a manager goes out there, they're not always irate and actually upset.
Yeah.
A lot of times, they have to defend their player. And, you know, sometimes there's really not much else on the bone to say, right? I mean, Manny let my man know what his issue was with his strike zone.
Yeah.
And he let him know in a very
boisterous way.
Boisterous way. There you go. And so at that point, as a manager, you're coming out there to protect your guy. Do you really need to elaborate on what Manny just said if you already know, like, it's been taken care of? Like, so you're out there, you can just go out there, you can go back, or you can, you know, push him to eject you. And that's what he tended to, that's what he decided to do. That has been happening for a very long time. We just didn't have lip readers in your mouth
to do it.
Looking at everything you're saying.
Right. The question now becomes, are managers going to have to start going out to the umpire and cover their mouth when they argue with umpires?
They're going to have to, like, put their arm around them and, like, cuss them out that way so that no one can ever see it.
Yeah. Might change the way things are handled. This hour, 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro. San Diego County Fair now through July 7th. The Magic of the Midway, live concerts, nostalgic celebration of fashion, culture, and more. Buy your tickets now online and learn more on what's happening at sdfair.com. Gwynn and Chris, that's happening. First hour in the books. More to come on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.